going to do something.
Oh, we're live.
We're live. Oh, my gosh. Whoa, it's happening.
It's actually went live. I need to grab the invite.
The invite and the links and all that other stuff.
Copy that.
Send
it out on this one. And where's it at? Kickstarter collab.
Yeah.
I'm live if you want to join.
Come and see what's going on.
Come and see us.
Let us break 20 backers. I think if you hit 20 backers, you're at 11 backers right now. If you hit 20 backers, and if you ended up at $1,000, in the first 24 hours, it gets notice. It's momentum, right? It's momentum.
Yeah.
First time out of the gate, you can't ask for anything more.
Yeah.
So I changed the background. My background. I wanted to have the cool picture, but it's a portion of the cool picture. Just a small tiny smidge. Just a portion. Just a little bit. Just a little
bit. Okay. I shared out the link on YouTube and on the other one. So then let's share it out on the other collaboration one.
All right.
So I'm doing on the collaboration ones, I'm saying they can come on and pimp their own stuff.
Okay.
Right? Because it's always good.
Yeah. And did you share anything out? Oh, you did. Okay, excellent. It's out onto there. So I'm gonna share this. We are chatting about super
baby detective, not killers.
What's funny is because I go shopping for my grandma a lot, suppository pops up as my so we're chatting about suppositories. Supernatural baby killers, detectives.
We are live celebrating the Kickstarter launch.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of the joys of having a 91 going on 92 year old grandma that you go grocery shopping for, and her shopping list is very consistent, but she always wants to remind me that it has these things on it. And those are very important. To make sure that I get those. And when it got hot, I don't know if you saw the picture, but when it was very hot here, we had to keep them in the refrigerator because they kept melting. You know, so
yeah, that's not good.
No, not good, not good. So
not good at all.
I know. Not helpful.
How do we tell on StreamYard? Oh, we can see it there. Oh, it actually tells us where we have no viewers right now.
Yeah, you have no viewers right now, but you can look on, if you are on Facebook, you can see your, I'll open a Facebook tab, not that I want to, because then it'll get
it inundated. Here too, if they're watching on YouTube or Facebook.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Yeah, it launched. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then we got the first 11 like right away.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. But, you know, like everybody said, we all friends.
Friends, family, all that.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, okay. I can't use that feature right now. Apparently.
Oh. Is that you watching on
That's Facebook? Me. That's me on Facebook. I'm getting your numbers up, man. You know, it's what you got to do.
It's what you got to do. Just kind of hang out and do it.
Well, I mean, since we're sitting here talking about stuff and everything like that and all, I mean, and for anybody that's watching along, and this is going to go on to the YouTube and stuff like that, so people that may or may not know what Supernatural Baby Detective is, do you want to give people a little quick overview of the project?
Yeah. So the project itself, I don't know, you. So it was born out of an idea of, actually the title came first. We have Spoiler Country podcast. We were talking about some stuff. And I came up with this title and it made me laugh. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, oh, I could do this. And I've actually been working on it for like 3 years. I think Michael Tanner was like the first person I told about it.
Oh yeah.
On a rant, like on a podcast when he was doing, was it Ogres in Space?
Orcs in Space.
Orcs in Space. Yeah. And we talked about it. And he was like, oh, that's funny. And he came up and he did say, you should do it. He gave me an angle to do it from. But to be honest, I was like, that seems too hard.
Too hard? Like what? Yeah, the angle, like going into it would be too difficult to do, or too hard, like as in hard boiled?
No, like too difficult to do.
Oh, okay.
Like I was like thinking about how I would write it out. And I was just like, oh man, that'd be a lot. Uh-huh. And I mean, it was a great angle. And I was like, I could do it that way. It was just about, I don't want to give too much away, but it was a good angle. But I just was like, that might be a little bit beyond my scope right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Honestly.
Yeah.
Cause Tanner's, you know, Tanner, he's a great writer.
Yeah.
So when he came up with an idea, he's like, I can do this. And I was like, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. Pull it off. I could do it, but not pull it off. I don't know how well I would be able to pull it off without it being cliche.
Yeah.
So
he's great at bouncing stuff off of and getting good feedback from, and then making you feel like I could try.
Yeah.
And then you go, maybe not.
Well, I started writing it out. So anyways, it took like 2 years to write out an outline and to write out the characters, because I tried to give them like a backstory and kind of have an idea of how, you know, everything is going on. And and then I sat down to start writing it and something completely else came out.
Isn't that how it always works though? Yeah. Whenever you're doing any kind of creative project, you have this idea and then something else just grips you and says, this is the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're a creative dude, so you've done a lot of other things too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought I was going to be writing like, I mean, not rip off, but I just thought I'd be writing something cute. Like, Look Who's Talking, uh-huh, with the supernatural twist.
Right.
You know, and then that's just not what came out. Stop, dog. What is going on?
It's definitely, it has that feel.
Yeah.
But not that feel.
Yeah. And then I started thinking, well, I always hate it when people go, well, you got to find your audience. And I was like, I don't know what that means. Find your audience. You know what I mean? I just put stuff out. And if someone gravitates, cool. But I don't know I don't know how to find people. Like this social media stuff is, I suck at it. Really.
I think for a project like Supernatural Baby Detective, the audience is there. It's just a matter of connecting the dots, really. It's not necessarily like trying to find those people. They're there.
Yeah.
It's just getting it in front of them, or getting the people that know that their friend is going to like this. So this is definitely going to be a word of mouth type.
Yeah. And well, what helped me was Travis Gibb.
Oh yeah.
Looked at the Kickstarter before we launched and it was like, you need something that says, if you're into this, you'll like this, basically. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. And I started writing it out. I'm like, you know, it was really the you know, forehead slap. I was like, oh, now I get finding the audience. Because then it was like, when I started writing out, I'm like, look, if you like Mike Mignola's Hellboy, if you're a John Constantine fan and you read those books like Hellblazer or even just whatever.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy and his Pan, or you know, that whole type of genre and that kind of thing, you'll most likely like this book.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I feel like putting those types of things together, that kind of peanut butter and jelly sandwich for this project. When I took a look at it, I was like, oh yeah, this hits these types of marks.
Yeah.
Before you even had that type of thing to say, this is what it's like.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, read this. And I was like, this is awesome.
I never know what people think of it because it's so zany. It's kind of out there. And then they like read it and they're like, you kind of know where it's going just from the title and what's going on. But at the same time, it's like, what did I just fucking read?
It's true. I mean, I've thrown the title out there to people and in a very loose pitch, not even anything like not even close to what the book really is, but just a really loose pitch to people.
Right.
And anybody that has Lovecraftian lore in their back pocket of things that they like, they're like, they just start like, does it have this? Does it have this? Does it have, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, actually, those are the things. That's it's the so stuff.
Fun. Yeah.
You would like this. So,
yeah. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, that's the thing. The process has been kind of crazy because I can't draw. So I had to find somebody and I got lucky. I found Ram Sandoval and he's out of the Yucatan. Uh-huh. And his style, he's like baby Mignola to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got a very particular style, just like Mignola does. They're not the same, but they're very, I don't know, in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the same, but same vein.
It has that, like when you're looking at it,
it
definitely, you're like, oh, this feels familiar.
Right. Right. And it's like, okay, I like it. And he's very, he loves like Japanese anime. He loves, what do they call it? Kawaii?
Kawaii, yeah.
Yeah. And he's all in, and he's a big wrestling fan, which always makes me laugh. Cause I had a couple friends that were professional wrestlers back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what those guys go through. And it's crazy. And it's pre-scripted, but it ain't fake. Those guys are putting their body on the line, but he's way into that. And it's just, he was a perfect fit. He was a perfect fit.
Oh yeah. You know?
And then, Johnny Horsley wanted to be a part of it. Basically he says, I'm being a part of this. He didn't give me a choice. Right. He just said, Eric, I'm doing this. I was like, all right. So then he went and, he did all the coloring and he did a fantastic job.
I hear he's really great with crayons. So, and when he's not eating them.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Oh,
well, you just got to keep the paste away.
Yeah. The paste. Yeah. That's definitely true. Now the colors look really good.
Yeah.
On this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, on Ram's stuff, it like on his art, and you look at the way that the colors pop off and it's married up really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad.
No, not too bad.
I know, hopefully we'll have some other people join at some point and we'll get going. How is Starlight 6 going?
Oh, Starlight 6? Well, let's see. I mean, do you really want to talk about Starlight 6? Do you really want to talk about Starlight 6? I want to
talk about all of it.
I mean, we're cruising. I mean, we're in our last 2 weeks of stuff and we are, we're actively,
you're already funded, right? Or you're already
funded. Yeah, we're like 165% funded. So
that's awesome.
We're just going for the stretches and stuff like that. So
yeah.
It's one of those things where we're just continually trying to we're trying to make those small goals every day. So Travis wants to get a backer a day and I'm like, forget the backer a day. Let's hit this. If we're at 173 or 183, let's go to 185 or 175 or 185. Let's hit that full number or not full number, but you know, let's,
yeah,
I like those, that solid number, you know? So, and we've been doing pretty good at just keeping that momentum and it's just about, you know, just keeping going until the finish line. So,
yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to with any type of project like this is like, you know, you start moving, get the momentum going and hope that people pass it along.
Yeah. Well, this is the first one for me. So it's, I'm not going to stress out. That's my goal.
Right.
Not to stress, because I can be a stress case when it comes to things like this, where I'm super anxious.
Yeah.
My gut gets turned upside down. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's my first one, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Hey, you're doing everything right. Oh. You know, you gotta, it's like what, 90% complete in the sense of like being,
it's 100% complete.
100% complete.
Yep.
So
yeah, everything's done. We're just getting, all we're doing now is really getting printing and maybe some, you know, some recop for the old credit card.
Okay. So, you know? So it's just about paying everything back and then getting it out there.
Yeah. But everybody who's worked on it has been paid, which is important to me. I didn't want to start the Kickstarter really. I mean, Richard Starkings, I don't know how I got Richard Starkings to letter this book. And if anybody's listening that don't know, Richard Starkings was the letterer on The Killing Joke. Ah. He was done a bunch of stuff with Alan Moore. He's does Elephant Man. He's, you know, he's a legend in the industry. And for some reason, he read this stupid script and said, yeah, I'll do this. And then. And then give me a price. I mean, not to, I don't know. I shouldn't say it. It was a very fair deal.
Yeah. No, and when you can get talent like that to want to do a project with you and to feel that this is something they want to do and then give you a fair deal on this, that it makes it's symbiotic, right? Because they're doing something they want to do. They're doing it for you at a good rate.
Yeah,
and everybody wins.
Right? Yeah,
Even the customers, the people that are backing this, all your backers that pledged to this project, they're going to win because they're going to get this fun book that has a great letterer, great artist,
decent colorist,
decent colorist. I mean, a great colorist.
You know what I like about it though? Not to toot my own horn. It's original.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a hero. It's not a superhero story. It's not a teenage angst. It's not, you know, and it's, I don't think any, if you, when you read this book, the only thing that's going to be familiar is using Lovecraft as a back end, as a back, you know, or as an overarching nemesis.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't use Cthulhu in a way like, you'll see a lot of people now that use Cthulhu where they're literally fighting Cthulhu.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not a thing that you would actually do in a Lovecraft horror, you know?
No.
So I'll be honest.
Okay.
I don't know if that I would have included Cthulhu and put it in a Lovecraft lore style setting.
Mm-hmm.
I had known how much people have Cthulhu and their stuff within Kickstarter.
Oh, it like you could easily do like a Cthulhu search on Kickstarter and find hundreds of books.
Yeah, I had no idea. I like, we have where are they at? My desk is a madhouse right now. We got these pins, right?
Mm-hmm. There you go. Pull it back a little bit further, a little bit further. There you go. Focus.
So there's that guy, right?
Yeah.
He's that's the Deep One pin. It's
like about a quarter size?
Inch and a quarter.
Okay.
And I thought I was being like, never done this. Didn't look at any. I looked at people's Kickstarter, didn't see anybody doing these pins.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I should get like a button. And then a button turned into a pin. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm gonna get these pins. Nobody's doing pins.
Ah.
Yeah. What a maroon.
You get throw a rocket.
Yeah. I was like, oh, everybody's doing pins. No. These guys.
These are cool pins, though. I mean,
they did a good job. We went through PenMart. They did a great job, and they look cool. They're right off of Ram's design.
Mm-hmm.
Ram actually did the art on this one, and then Johnny colored it, and then we sent it in. And that was actually the first thing completely done before the book was done. The book was written, but before the book was done, mm-hmm. those pins were done, which is wow. funny. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of pins because, you know, at the shop, we have a lot of pins.
Yeah.
We sell a lot of pins. I've backed a lot of Kickstarters and got a lot of a lot of pins.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I've done pins with my Kickstarters and stuff like that. But the one thing that I can definitely tell you, and looking at this pin, the detail that is pulled out of this pin, I mean, line work yeah. is, you can see the lines, you can see the line work, you got the colors and stuff like that. It's very detail heavy. And that's something as a pin collector that, yeah. you know, I'm a pin collector. I right. have multiple hats that have different pins on it from different things that I like.
Yeah.
And, you know, on jackets and bags and stuff. And, I love detail pins, detail heavy pins. And this is definitely something you can make out the face. The one thing you don't want to get is a pin from something that you like.
Yeah.
That you can't make out what it is. It's just a thumbprint or something like that.
Yeah. So. Well, I actually went back and forth with the company.
Uh-huh.
And we literally, I sent back so many proofs. Nope. They probably got sick of me. Until I just got, you know, because we gave him a high res file. We gave him a really good file, mm-hmm. a lot of detail, you know. One of the things, I don't know if you can see it on this, but there's in the very middle of the cape is a little seashell.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to look really close, but it's there. And mm-hmm. you can make it out, which was kind of important to me because that was one of the cool little designs because when I described the scene to Ram, I was like, these humanoids are coming out of the water. They're using seaweed that is draped like a cape and hood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that sounds cool. And then he drew those deep ones because he was so excited to do deep ones. He's like, oh, my God, I'm so excited.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then on top of that, Ron Randall, Johnny is actually friends with Ron and said, hey, you should check this book out. And he sent him a copy, an advanced copy. And, uh-huh. Ron liked it enough. He did a print for us.
That's a big get. I will tell you. I mean, I'm a fan of Ron's. If anybody has helped me in Kickstarter, it's been Ron.
Yeah.
If anybody super knows nice. Kickstarter, oh yeah. If anybody knows Kickstarter, it's Ron.
Yeah.
And if Ron sees something that he likes and is gonna do something like that, that means that this is good. This is inherently good. I mean, even Dan said that on our last episode of Funny Book Forensics when he saw that Ron had done the print and stuff like that. He was like, if Ron is on this, you guys should back this project because Ron Randall, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy who's been in the industry forever.
And, yeah.
You know, he likes this. This is something you should do.
Yeah. See, so here we go. There's the Ron Randall print.
Oh, so great.
And so when Ram saw that, he flipped out because he had never had somebody of Ron's caliber take something of his design and do something. So he was like, oh my God,
that's rad.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have a print from JB Panotas out of the Philippines. And he kind of went for a noir, old school noir style poster
mm-hmm.
is what he was shooting for. And we have Pearl in the background with Frank on top nice. Or in the foreword. So, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff in here.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully people will gravitate. If like literally if you're, I don't know, man, if you're into Cthulhu and Lovecraft, you'll probably get a kick out of it. I mean, this cover is ridiculous.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I
this cover was so good. Travis Gibbs said you need to put a disclaimer somewhere that says that it's not AI. So we put issue one. The issue is called Steelborn, a 24 page noir style Lovecraftian Cthulhu horror comedy, fully human created.
I joked with you. I remember joking with you when you're showing me like stuff, and you're like, no, seriously, it's not AI. And you're like, you're the other, you're like
it made me nervous.
You're second person that said that.
Yeah,
like, it's too good.
It's too good. Yeah, it made me nervous. I was like, but it had the hand. It had a weird hand at first. Aladdin, yeah, that, weird thing with the hand. We're like, what are you doing? And he fixed it. I mean, you can't even. It looks amazing now, but yeah, mm-hmm. It turned out good. And I got the original. He sent me the original from Egypt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I got that to put in, and then I just love the designs that Ram came up with. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want Frank to be a classic private dick that's mm-hmm. out of place, out of time.
Yeah.
You know, he's in his early 50s or late 50s, early 60s. And, you know, his favorite is Humphrey Bogart. And, mm-hmm. that's, you know, but this story takes place in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then we have Pearl. And she is Frank's assistant. She's more like a daughter to him, and she feels like he's more like a surrogate father to her. Mm-hmm. And he teaches her all he knows, and she keeps the lights on. Yep. And then we have our bad guy, the Easter Bunny.
Oh yes.
Yes. And I wanted him to be a little over the top, a little nutty. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been infected with the madness from Cthulhu. And then Ram took this, he designed this Cthulhu statue, and he wanted it different. And it was funny because somebody saw it. I can't say who it was because of who they are.
Okay.
Stupid. But they're one is, they thought maybe he was combining a Hindu god with Cthulhu and or did they take something from, you know, from his culture? And Ram's like, no, I just wanted him to have, you know, seven eyes. Like, yeah, I like it. So,
I mean, honestly, when you think about it, who has seen Cthulhu?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd lose your mind.
Yep. If you did, you'd lose your mind. And then we got a cool preview. So if you go to check out the thing, you can go, you can see it online. You can see a little 3-page preview of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is, it's a nice little preview. It's a good little preview. I also love this, like, this other cover.
Oh, the variant cover. Yeah. So this is Ram all by himself. He did the color on this cover. He did all of the lettering, everything. And his goal was to mimic. The only thing that's different is John added the logo, and he pushed a couple things down for printing and mm-hmm. added this logo here. And my dog is like, what's going on with him? But Ram was kind of going for an old school EC horror comic look feel to the cover. And the picture itself was an homage to the Iron Maiden Killers album.
Yeah.
So we can actually look it up real quick. If we Google Iron Maiden Killers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Look at the images. There we go. That, can you see that? No.
You got to bring it in as the.
Yeah, but we have it as a shared on the same screen. That was weird.
Yeah, it just made it really small or something like that. So present that or bring that over.
Yeah. Present. Share screen. Oh, there we go. So there you go. So it's that old school Iron Maiden album cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not exactly the same, and it shouldn't be, but it's
an homage.
Feel. And because he was like, well, what do you want the cover to be? And I was like, you know what? Do this. You know?
Yeah.
Do this kind of thing, and it'll be cool. It'll be a lot of fun.
It is.
It is. So we're keeping it. I mean, Richard, when Starking saw it, he was like, you should have that as your main cover. But we had already set everything, and it doesn't use the logo. It hits all the points of being a variant.
Mm-hmm.
It uses a different logo, different lettering, different colors, different everything, you know?
Right.
It just happens to have the main, one of the antagonists on the cover. One of the antagonists. on the cover. So,
which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super cool.
So, you know, it's going. I'm surprised. Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm surprised nobody from the cut. Because I know one girl wanted to come in. She even texted me to see if we're still doing it.
Well, you got to remember, sometimes some people get busy, it's, you know, later in the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not too worried about it. I mean, we're going to do more lives.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get going. And, you know, maybe as things come in, we'll hit it. We're on the Witch Starter, which, if you don't know what Witch Starter is, it's the magic and fantasy and supernatural Kickstarter promo for October.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so if you go into Kickstarter and you click on Witch Starter, will be one of the first projects that pop up.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We did okay for the first day. We got 11 backers. We obviously need more. We need to get up. Our goal is 3,000. We're 10%. Mm-hmm. We're over 10% there. We need that extra.
You're 12% right now.
Yeah, we're at 12% right now.
Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go, Bradley.
You got some great rewards. You got early birds and stuff like that. People could be snatching these things up for like $8, like these early birds, and walking away with good stuff.
I know.
$12 early bird.
Part of the problem, I know part of the problem is my marketing game is not where it needs to be. You know.
But yeah. I mean, you take a year off from podcasting and pumping out the goods there, and then when it comes to this, it's like, oh, what did I used to do?
Well, we had a really good, we still have a good podcast. We restarted it and we're going now. But it's just when you're doing an episode every day,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting to the point where we got,
mm-hmm.
And podcasts are difficult to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
And to have, you have to get to a point where you're actually making. We never really wanted to make a lot of money on it. We just wanted to make enough money to maintain it.
Right.
To do the materials, to do the mm-hmm. hosting fees and all that. It just wasn't. So we're in the red every month, and which was fine because it was fun and it was a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
But the hobby turned into work, you know, and when the hobby turns to work and it doesn't pay the bills, it's hard. You burn out really fast.
It's hard to take that time that hour to record or 2 hours to record and then that 2 hours to edit and then that extra hour or two of like plugging it on all the different social medias later on and then trying to do the upkeep on it later on. It's like, okay, what am I getting out of it?
What am I getting out of it, and how do I keep this going? It just got too much, and it turned into something that we never really planned on doing. We never planned on doing a bunch of interviews. Once in a while, do an interview.
Yeah,
you know. But now we're like, well, let's focus on comic books and indie comic books specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more fun crowd. They appreciate what you're doing when you're mm-hmm. dealing with the Hollywood types. There's just so many things you have to take into account.
Right.
And if you don't make it easy for them to promote, mm-hmm. then they don't promote.
They don't.
You know, you promote them, but they don't promote you. And that's what you need. You need to have something that, you know, like if I have Travis Webb on
mm-hmm.
and we talk about Starlight and we record and then I set it up and I send him the link for recording, he's sending it out the second he has it in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you'd be shocked. We had Thomas Jane on, and it wasn't until I sent his publicist the stuff, and it's no fault of Thomas. And the guy's a busy guy, you know, he's doing his thing. He's doing all his stuff, but it took him 2 weeks to send out a, hey, I was on the show.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, you know, and it's like, it kind of, you lose steam when you don't hit while the iron's hot. And you just, after a while, you just get kind of bored with it.
Right. You want it to be fun. You want it not to be work, like you said.
And this is more fun because we're creating.
Yeah. You're creating, you're getting something that you enjoy into people that are going to enjoy its hands just as much as you enjoyed creating it.
Yeah. 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 Look at that background you got. Why is your background so fun?
What? Oh, the one that I stole the image off of the Kickstarter and I threw it behind me.
Boom.
That's what I do.
Oh my God.
You know, it's one of those things where I want to scream at the top of my lungs that everybody should go out and just at any level, just get out there and back this, you know, and
yeah.
You got to remind people too, that might not know how Kickstarter works. It's not, they back it and the money goes out. It's 29 days later.
Yeah.
The money goes out. So
yeah, it only comes out if it gets funded.
Yeah.
If it makes the funding goal.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So somebody could back it. And if it doesn't get funded in 29 days, they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of it is the marketing. People who have seen it, have looked through it, they're like, oh, this looks amazing. And then they want to be, they usually back it. Can you hear my dog whining at me?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. That's. Oh.
You want to go out? You want to go potty? Is that what you want? You want to go potty?
Come here. Aw. Cute.
Yeah. That's Muffin. Okay, dude.
Hey, Muffin.
She's we have three dogs.
Uh-huh.
Two of these Boston Terriers
and one
pit. And the pit bull is, well, it's a pit mix. She's she's like 6 months old. But this dog was not supposed to be mine. It was supposed to be someone else's, and she just gravitated towards me.
Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah. Well, especially with Boston Terriers, they tend to pick one person in the house. And that's who they listen to. That's who they want to follow. That's who they want to be around. And that's...
Okay.
That's what she did.
Yeah.
So, yeah. She probably does want to go out, but that's okay. She can wait. Maybe not.
You got to turn around. There's going to be a surprise on the floor.
All right.
I'm just joking.
No, she's actually pretty good about it. She was terrible getting potty trained, and then the last 4 months she's been amazing.
Well, that's good.
Learned, I think, because she's happy. That makes a difference. That does make
a difference.
I don't know, man. I think maybe, I don't know if you're available tomorrow night.
Thursday. Yeah, it could
tomorrow's
be
available. Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Wednesday. Oh my gosh, tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And we try again tomorrow and I do more marketing and get the word out and actually be on time. Part of it is I told everybody 7:30 and then didn't even start to like 8:20.
It's okay. It's just about right now. It's just really about getting the reach, just trying to get people to jump on in this first 24 hours.
Yeah.
Trying to get, you know, like I said, if we could get you up to 20 backers,
nine more backers at any level, in this
first 24 hours, right?
Yeah, the next 12 hours, nine.
Everybody can jump in and get that early bird, get the early bird special.
Well, I think the early bird, what time's the early bird stop? Don't they stop?
You get it for 48 hours. So
is that what it is?
Yeah, you get it for 48 hours. That's what you have it on here.
Oh.
So you have it set for 48 hours.
Do I really?
Yeah.
How do you? Oh, maybe because it did. Which is fine. Actually, that's fine. Ends in one day.
Yeah. So everybody can jump on and get that early bird. Any of these early birds, which is great. That means more people can jump on. They can tell their friends. They can they can spread that out and get more people backing at these early bird prices. And, you know, just getting that excitement out there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And get more, you know, and I'll work on some more videos to put out because people tend to gravitate toward videos, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I need. I need somebody if anybody's out there that knows how to edit videos, really, I know how to do video editing, but I'm not like great at video editing. Heather, and you want to do it for a song or a comic book, let me know.
Oh man.
They'll be like, yeah, no, dude.
No. I mean, it's this is all stuff that, like, I mean, sometimes in your first Kickstarter, you learn the hard way how things, you know, how to get these things done either beforehand or get the people in place beforehand or right at the beginning.
Yeah.
So that everything kind of, you know, gets figured out. And,
well, I'm not going to stress over the first day. Because to me, I got 11 people the very first day.
Yeah, that's great.
I felt good about that. I was like, okay. You know, and if I can get a couple more tomorrow and a couple more the next day. And then the big thing was being more than halfway by the time I hit that 2-week mark, I'll feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody said that's your litmus test. Mm-hmm. You're more than, you know, 50%. If you're more than 50% by the time you hit 2 weeks in your first one, you're doing pretty good.
Oh yeah. I think honestly, like you're chugging along right now. And I think that's good. I think we talked about like the early bird stuff, but do you have any of these tiers that just stand out to you that you think are super fantastic or
I think special? There's like three of my favorites.
Okay.
Talk about it. There's the first 10, which I don't see anybody else doing. Mm-hmm. And this is where we took the first 10 books that come off the printing press, and we've already talked with the printer. Mm-hmm. They're going to send them separately to me. And so the first 10 off the printing press are going to be given a holographic sticker that says first 10.
Ooh.
And I'm going to number it as 1, 2, 1 of 10, 2 of 10. Mm-hmm. And those are... So you'll know you'll have one of the first 10 off the press.
Oh, that's nice. I think
it's cool. You know what I mean? Cool. You know, I think it's cool. I mean, I'm a dork for that kind of stuff. And so we have it. You can get cover A or cover B, which is the first book or the alternate book. And then you can get those or you can buy both. So there's only 10 total. So there's 5 of cover A, 5 of cover B, or 5 of cover A and B. And matter of fact, cover AB is, I think there's only 3 left, 2 left.
Oh, wow.
I think there's only 2 left
of the first 10.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Where's that at? Yeah. There's only 2 left of the first 10 of cover A and B, because you'll get a matching set, meaning you'll get cover 2 of 10 and cover B 2 of 10. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes sense.
And then the other one I really like is the sealed goodie bag, which has nearly everything. So you'll get all of the digits. And I say nearly everything because we don't have first tens in those. But you'll get the enamel pin. You'll get assigned, or you'll get a cover A, cover B. You get the print from Ron Randall. You get the print from JB Panonis. You get all of the digital rewards. And you get a sealed goodie bag that is... cover with the cover A printed on it, and inside is the physical copies of the book plus a holographic sticker, poster, and a magnet, and then the prints, and then of course all the digital downloads. And I think that's a fun one.
And I'm looking at the price. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
For the $75. That's like really good.
Yeah, it's not bad
when you price everything out for this anything a la carte. Then you're getting a really good deal.
yeah So it's gonna be a lot of fun. Hey, we got Christy Shin in the waiting room, and she is she's got her own Kickstarter that launched.
Yeah,
let's find out about it.
All right, bring her in.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey. How you doing?
Doing good. Just had a pretty good first day. I'm just like taking a look at it now. You know how we're kind of like tied to our phone all the time.
Oh yeah. How you doing?
Doing good. I'm pretty tired. I'm just like going, it was an interesting first day. It's kind of weird because I'm at this like thing where it's like you have like $5 that you made, or like, you know how like if you're not freaking what is it, Rob Liefeld, like, you think it's going to be like $3,000 that you bring in like the first day or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm, you know, mine first book for me. So, and I'm, only at 10%,
12%. 12%.
Yeah.
12%. Yeah. Is this like the first day right now?
Yeah. 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 We just went live at noon today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, we got a long ways to go. I only have a $3,000 funding goal, though.
Mm-hmm.
Renting.
Yeah, I'm 16.
Looking at your project right now. This looks cool. So, if people, if you're watching it live or you're watching later, go to Kickstarter. Check out Demon Bitch. I Hate You All. It's going on right now. I'm gonna pledge. I'm gonna get something.
Okay, cool.
It's a good book.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, like Greg and I have known each other for a while. We haven't met, I don't think, personally quite yet, but he's like read a lot of my books. Travis, I know, like his writing partner.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a low-level demon from the 13th Pit of Hell where people throw their dog shit in gum wrappers, and she wants to make the second coming of Armageddon, but the first one never happened because she's a stupid bitch. She's based on
a family-friendly version.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah, and then,
Which one's the non-family friendly version?
Oh, that's pen 15. That's like penis here, pen 15 here. I did like the thing where she's holding a pen so she looks like she's carrying it around and stuff, like like nothing is wrong.
Pen 15 here, signed paperback.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do that one.
The kids book is actually pretty funny too. Like it's like, it's not like a kids book for adults. It's like, it's actually written for kids. So the story behind that is that I've been able to get into some kids shows.
Yeah.
I find interesting because it's like, you know, it's not really kid friendly or it's like for little kids.
Yeah.
For some reason, oh, excuse me. Sorry.
No worries.
But for some reason, like that just makes it happen. So, you know, that's what's going on right there. So we're all kind of laughing about it. So, they like said, like, I've had people that run the show said, you know, we're kind of wondering and we're kind of having an issue with, like, you know, we were wondering about Demon Bitch, because I would send in, like, I would send in a submission of the comic and everything. So it's not like I was, like, ignoring it or pretending that it was family-friendly. And then they were saying, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, yeah, we were wondering about you and we were worried about it, but, yeah, you could come back to our show next time. And that was ridiculous. It was, like, so funny, and we were laughing.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And then I decided to do a kid's book as a result of it. Like, well, I might as well sell something in a show.
Where was the project born out of?
Where was it born out of? Like, what was I supposed to be doing or something?
Yeah, like, how'd you come up with the whole thing? And
I got really pissed off, and that's what happened. So that's pretty much it. Like, Greg's heard some of my stories, like, of some people that we've known, and he's like, God damn.
they're dead. That's what, like, that's what I find funny about the book, though. So,
it's actually like there are some people that are there. Like, there's like, I am Shipbird, because that's based on people that have actually like thought the comic book characters were about them.
Yeah.
And so they started screaming at me online or in person, going like, you know, this is about me and everything. I'm just saying like, no, it's not about you. It's like, you know, there's four or five. There's four or five. Oh, people like you. And they've come up at me, and I said, you know, you're not special. And then they get even madder when I tell them they're not special.
It's like, I promise you, I'm not thinking about you.
I'm like, yeah, it looks like this. I'm mad because you made fun of me, but I'm madder because you really didn't make fun of me.
Yeah.
It's like, make up your fucking mind. Did you want me to make fun of you or not? It's like ridiculous.
Oh, the ego. It's so funny.
It's the best ever. But yeah, like, we've seen, like, I've shown Greg some shit and he's like,
oh, the stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that since he's part Japanese, so we kind of make the Japanese Korean jokes right there too, because my ethnicity is Korean.
Yeah.
So we talk about
that. Banter back and forth.
The banter.
We'll all kind of go up to June and go like, colonizer, because June is Japanese. And they're holding a Japanese, like, we're holding Asian invasion in Japan, and like Asian invasion at his store. And I said, and one time, like, I was sitting with the other artists, and they were Asian, or like some different types of Asian, like, one was, they were Filipino, Chinese, Korean. But we noticed like none of them were Japanese. We just selected, and I said, he's the colonizer over there. He's in the store. We're terrible.
Terrible. I love it. Did you get a chance to look at the book that I'm the thing that I'm shilling?
Me?
Yeah. I'm always curious.
Well, I actually, let me see here. Which book were you showing? Sorry.
That's all right. It's called
I'm also kind of fuzzy because I literally like I just crashed out for some reason.
It's called
I was supposed to say on earlier, guys.
It's called a Supernatural Baby Detective.
Oh, okay. So Supernatural Baby Detective. Hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, that's behind Greg.
Yes.
Yes.
Behind me.
Well, it's not dumb because, you know, like kids can see all sorts of things. I mean, they have really creepy stories where the children are like playing and they said like, oh, who are you playing? And it's like, oh, it's my friend Michael. Oh, that's nice. Like what's your friend Michael do? It's like, well, yeah, he's that little boy. I think he's dead. And it's like,
what?
Although, so what's Supernatural Baby Detective about?
It's, you know, if you like Mignola, like Hellboy, if you like Hellblazer, uh-huh. You know, if you like Guillermo del Toro, it'd probably be right up your alley. You know, uh-huh. I don't know. I guess it's not a big deal to give away the twist actually at all because
it is though.
You think it is?
No.
I mean, oh. The way you said it, I was like, oh, really? Yeah, no, it's so it's about a private investigator named Frank, and he's investigating these kidnappings, and he gets killed in the middle of it of his investigation, and instead of just dying, he gets sent to an entity, who then reassigns his consciousness and his soul into a stillborn. So then he is reborn as a fully grown person with all of his thoughts and, you know what I mean, his consciousness, but he's stuck in this infant. And he can't communicate because all he can do is cry because he got no vocal cords yet. And so as, you know, and then fast forward like 2 years, we'll get into him being a toddler and having to restart his investigation.
You just lost 3 backers.
Yeah.
You gave it away.
I gave it all away.
Gave it all away.
Hey. Oh, there's Johnny. He's our colorist and did all of this. Oh, you did a lot.
Did one or two things.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah. Christy did Demon Bitch, what I just backed. So I'm excited to actually
thank
read
you,
this.
By the way.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I saw that. It looks great.
Yeah, thank you. It's about I don't know if you got to hear it, but it's a low level demon from the 13th pit of hell, where people throw their dog shit and gum wrappers, and she wants to be the second coming of Armageddon, but the first one never happened because she's a stupid bitch. She's basically.
I'll be right back, guys. Johnny, keep it going if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because it's like with Greg. Like I knew Greg before through Travis Webb, so mm-hmm. like for Starlight the comic, and so like we've like I've shown him some pretty excretable people. He's like, what the fuck? Oh my god.
I like things that make you go, what the fuck? It's more fun.
Yeah. Like one of them is actually a kid's book. And that's he says, which one's the non-kid one? I said, oh, that's Pen 15. That's like the literature one where it's like, it says penis here, basically. So, oh, get mm-hmm. that. So I just was saying, the reason why I've made a kid's book is that when I would go to kid shows and look, I would actually submit my work. So it wouldn't be like, oh, well, you know, I'm just hiding it. And they would accept it anyway. And then later on, right after the show, like, it's a good show. And they're sort of like, yeah, you know, like, we really liked you here. But we weren't really sure at first. But with a name like Demon Bitch, if it's appropriate for children, I'm like, okay. And then they said, oh, but you know, you're really cool. So, you know, come back next time. Cartoonapalooza is one of them, too, which is hilarious because it's a kid's book. So the Mr. Efford. That's a kid's book. I mean, the thing is, if you're an adult, like, I kind of felt bad for adults because they had to, like, read books over and over and over and over to their children Like, and after a while, you're like, God damn, I just don't want to read this anymore. Like, no matter how much you love your kid, there's only so much that you can think of Barney and the Big Fucking Motherfucking Purple Dinosaur or some shit. Like,
oh, dude, right. That show was on when my nephew was a kid, and he watched it all the time, and I was like, this is so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, like, not engaging. So I thought, hey, you know, why don't I make a kid's book, but adults can enjoy it, too. So I had Stephen Prince do the like, the head thing of it and just write that, which is really great.
I started writing a kid's book one time, and I got, like, I think I made 19 pages with art, and then I just stopped. And it's sitting on my computer somewhere, not finished.
I did Demon B Meets Mr. F Word, so you should check it out, because it's, like, nice, identity and boundaries and just, like, generally, like, like appreciating yourself as a person. And when I did that, I was like, wait, this is actually not shitty. This is great.
This is actually not bad. Yeah. I feel the way about my book sometimes. So I'm like, oh, this actually isn't terrible. Mm.
Do you draw I know you color, but like
I write. I'm actually not a colorist. I've been kind of like fell into coloring through Kenrick and through other stuff.
He's a colorist. He just doesn't want to admit it yet.
I've colored a couple stories, but like I'm an artist, I'm a writer, I'm a colorist too apparently now. But most of what I do is writing. I write a lot of stuff, but I also draw comics and draw fun stuff and then color stuff for Kenrick.
Yeah. You should probably look at Pen 15 because I've actually got some samples because I'm also enclosing fan art, but I actually have them as separate prints as well. One of the artists is Mog Park and Zoralita and stuff.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I have a Kickstarter pulled up right here on my computer. I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm. See?
Sharing.
Well, no, sharing is caring.
Yes.
Sharing is caring.
That's certainly what she probably feels like when she goes and shares her incurables around. It's like, it's the perfect... The person that you absolutely love to despise and you shit all over because they absolutely have like no redeeming features. It's like they're not necessarily evil, but they're just a tool or they're a piece of shit. So it's even funnier. And you don't feel bad about like beating up on them like, verbally because they're just that useless.
I know a few people like that.
Am I one of them, Kenrick? Am I one of them?
No.
Yes. I mean, we're supposed to say no.
For you, Greg, of course.
Of course.
Are you guys all located in the same area, too?
Pretty much.
Yeah, we're all in the same state.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down in L.A. I'm just thinking it's funny how we're, like, West Coast and there's the Pacific Northwest here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys are kind of your own different breed. Like, here's California and then Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah.
Very different.
Did you grow up in L.A.?
Actually, I grew up in Northern California.
In Northern Cal?
Yeah. And then I eventually moved down to L.A. Central to... Like, I don't think I'll ever move out of California. It's actually a really nice place to live. I actually like it. I mean, I've been to other states. I've been to Boise, Idaho for a convention. And it's actually kind of cool. It's very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, very different state of mind. There's also... Boise, Idaho, I'm going to go to Meadowlark up in Oregon. So I've never been to Oregon or Washington. So I'm going to see how that is as well.
You're going to try to do Emerald? Emerald Queen? Or Emerald Queen Casino?
Emerald Queen Casino!
Emerald City Comic Con?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't know. I'm kind of at this point now, unless if I'm like a guest of a con, I don't go just because of travel costs. Like travel costs
and lodging
have just been insane. So it's like, I don't want to be fucking with that right now.
Yeah, Seattle is really good for independents, though. They support independent artists a lot.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys?
No, go ahead.
No, do you guys live near Seattle? Like, I'm trying to think. Seattle.
Yeah, I'm just north of Seattle by like maybe 30 minutes, and then Johnny and Greg are like what, just 20 south? Minutes?
Yeah,
south of Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
we're about 30 minutes south of Seattle, and Greg's about 6 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
I love LA though. I love California. My dad was actually born in Orange County.
Oh yeah.
We would be in Newport or Huntington Beach or Laguna every year for Christmas and most of the summers all growing up.
Oh, yeah.
I miss that area.
Mm.
Long time now, but yeah.
Well, you should go down there at least, you know.
Yeah. It's hard now with the job.
I'll be in San Diego in 2 weeks for a week.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird city to be in.
San Diego?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like the people. I have friends that live there, but it's very linear. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of have to go up long and down, you know. It's kind of strange to me. Yeah. It's like LA's more sprawling, but like SD is more linear, which I find interesting.
Like north to south kind of thing?
Yeah. It's like a lot of, like, the cities and streets are a lot like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even if you go to Mission Valley and all that, it's just like up and down.
Yeah. The only time I go to San Diego was for the San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I have some friends that kind of live near there, like Temecula's kind of near there. So I'll be at the Cartoonapalooza. So that'll be kind of close. So, yeah.
I got some coworkers that live in San Diego, so I can go down there for that. But
I have a couple friends living in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like
Pat.
Yeah. Pat and his
Pat and Ashley. They got married last week.
Yeah.
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 Pat, I thought it was Pat Smith. We stayed at his house for Comic-Con 1 year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Ashley's trying to win that horror award.
Yeah. Is it the Bram Stoker award?
Which one?
Bram Stoker is the horror award.
No, nothing like that. She does cosplay.
Oh, I see.
She's trying to win a horror award for, because she does all these haunted houses and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of fun, though, it looks like. She likes doing it.
Yeah. You know? No, I hear you.
Hey, Christy, when you write, when you write people of different color or gender or cultural background, do you do a lot of research into that? Because I have a main character of mine, and she's a Black girl, and now I'm like, I really think I need to find a Black girl that grew up in the 90s that understands like what it was like to be an adult in the 90s, mm-hmm. you know, in the mid 20s or late, you know, early 20s, like I was.
Mm-hmm. Like, go from there. I kind of don't think about it at all. I mean, I probably sound like this person that's like all culture insensitive. I don't know. Cause I've hit the other end. Like,
so, but
one person, like, you know, for my art show, one guy was like going on how great it was, and there's demon bitch like stabbing Hello Kitty because somebody suggested to do that. And they were like, oh, there's misplaced animosity and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I think you're reading too much into it. I just wanted to be a Hello Kitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to be a Japanese, that's all.
I just
my Japanese sentiment right there and everything because, you know, Christy's using her Korean cultural background just to demonstrate how angry she is at the Japanese, at the colonization of Japan during South Korea, like back in from the 1900s to the 40s or 50s. I'm like, y'all are reading too much into it. I just fucking drew it because it was funny.
I told you I was sorry for making the comment, okay? I apologized already. I apologize every week.
All you do is apologize,
right?
Good job.
Oh, we just like fuck with each other all the time, and I'd be like, you know, like in Japan, it's like my friend studied the language. So he said, yeah, in Japan, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, maybe okay. And then it's like this whole thing of apologizing and not getting to the fucking point. And I said, it's kind of like British English versus American English, really. Because like Korean people, I think, I'm not saying the languages are exactly the same. I'm saying that, you know, the mannerisms, it's good. Korean people tend to be more very blunt to the point that it could be very rude, whereas Japan, from what I understand of the culture and the knowing friends that are Japanese, it's like you kind of have to kind of not really get to the point. You're really trying not to be offensive. Or
it's all end around.
Yeah.
Circular.
Yeah, it's very like, you know, oh, like I'm really sorry that I'm committing this, and then maybe I don't know about really doing this, but you know, maybe it's okay, but really it's not type thing. And it's like very interesting that way. That's all I gotta say.
That's kind of funny. Yeah. I guess a good example of that would be the British English versus the American English, I guess they tend to think that Americans are blunt, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I think it just depends on the person.
Well, it's kind of funny because like this is how they talk. Like over in England, it's like, you know, I've been put out, you know, we don't get on or anything or whatever. But it's sort of like how they talk is sort of circular, kind of like in Japan. Like they don't try to go, whereas, and I'm not saying British people aren't direct or they don't have that in their vocabulary, but I've just noticed they have a certain way of speaking that tends to skirt around the issue just slightly.
Yeah.
But like American English, it's like, no, you're fucking pissing me off. Get out of my face.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's like West Coast to East Coast.
Someone
from New York and someone from Seattle. Two totally different people.
Yeah. Pacific Northwest, even just in general.
Like, yeah, have you ever heard of, Christy, have you ever heard of the Seattle Freeze?
What's Seattle Freeze?
That is the concept that if you move to Seattle, then it is very hard for you to get a group of friends because we tend to be very cliquish and tend to have friendships that have been around for 20, 30 years, and I'm pushing everything else aside. Or you'll be like, hey, come to my house for a barbecue. Yeah, yeah, I'll be there. What time is it at? At 7? Okay. And then never show up.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like maybe LA flakiness too.
Yeah.
But it's like very strange. I think I kind of get it. Like when I watched Portlandia once, it's kind of like that. Put a bird on it.
Yeah. Put a bird on it. Put a bird on it. Classic
episode. Put a bird on it. I actually have like ramen bowls that have like a bird on it. It's like this weird sort of like bowl, but they have these like weird like prints or something on it and everything. So yeah. It's like, man. So, but I got to admit, like, this is kind of the most laid back I felt about a Kickstarter.
Yeah, like,
it's good.
That's a good feeling for sure.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like I'm like, oh, it's like whatever, but it's like there was to a point like even I like turned it on and then I got everything because I turned it on a little earlier than when I say I'm going to do it, but I didn't really go and advertise like when I was going to do it, just the day of.
Yeah.
And then when I did it, I was like, wow, I was nervous before in pre-launch mode, but then when I actually launched, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's cool.
I was, you know what, this is my first one, so I was the exact opposite. I was stressing out. I was nervous. My gut was like in knots. And then we'll go, okay, we're going to launch at noon. Greg's like, launch at noon, then we'll do like a live stream and try to get promote a little bit more. So we launched at noon, and then an hour later, we have, you know, a few like five or six people that have purchased, you know, a reward. And then Johnny goes, hey, we have these two rewards, but you can't get cover A and B together in this reward, and we need to have that, but it's all limited. So if you have the two, we only have 10 of each one. But if we do cover, then we had to do 5, 5, and 5. But as soon as we did that, those two you can't change them. You know, we had people who had purchased them. Which made it worse because then you could just delete them and re-add them. So then I had to find out who purchased it. And luckily they're all friends. So I was like, okay, hey, do you mind changing your pledge? And it was like, it was just, you know, stress city. Cause I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So I'm like, I don't know. Okay.
Well, I've kind of had that before. Like I actually, on some of my things, it's like, it's digital only because I thought, oh, you're talking about this digital reward, but it's like, no, you have to say physical and digital. So you can add whatever it is as an add-on.
Yeah.
So that was a bitch, and that was annoying.
Yeah. Well, and then I asked in the collab group, and somebody's like, oh, that's what add-ons are for. And I'm like, yeah, I get the add-on, but how do you maintain your numbers when you have a limited supply? I can't, the add-on's a completely different inventory. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
just add it on.
Yeah. Just
just for add it on, Kendrick.
Yeah. Just add it.
It's kind of like I'm thinking, like, plug it in, like the guy with the arms or some shit.
Just add it on, damn it. Yeah, I don't know. It's been kind of stressful. I do worry that I won't make my numbers. I'll have to relaunch, and then
you'll make it.
I have
what's your numbers? I don't have the Kickstarter in front of me.
3,000.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
That's what I need to. That's what I want to. Yeah, that's my funding goal. I'm at 365 right now. Huh?
Yeah, I'm asking for 6K in 45 days, roughly. And it's weird because it's like, yeah, you have that stress about making it. But like, we had one person cancel, and I'm like, today, what the fuck on launch day? But
launch day?
But it actually like didn't bother me. It was weird. I was like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. My friends were like making fun of that. Not like, oh, ha, 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 but like, my God, a person that doesn't understand the true value of Demon Pitch.
Yeah, it's true. How could they not want this?
Well, why'd you cancel, Greg? Why'd you cancel?
It's all your fault, Greg.
Sorry. I'll apologize again. Okay, it was me.
I think Travis has told me like some pretty funny stories. He actually launched when he wasn't supposed to. And he's like,
oh, yeah, no. So he was...
It was like a few years ago.
It was like issue two of Starlight, I believe.
Yeah.
He was going through and double-checking everything in the middle of the night before we launched in the morning. Or that, you know, we're going to launch at like 10 or 11. And he was going through everything. And all of a sudden, because I get up super early for work, like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm up early. And all of a sudden I get notified, your Kickstarter's live. And I was like,
you're like, it is?
What the? So I call him. I'm like, what did you do? And he goes,
what'd you do?
He's like, I clicked a button and now it's live. I didn't mean to. It just started. And I was like, we're live. And this is so hours, like 6 hours of time. Because everybody's sleeping, you know, 3 o'clock,
yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6. People aren't going to be awake until, like, you know, they're not going to be looking at it until 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, they're having that coffee break or whatever, and they're like, oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, hey, I should go back this while I should be working. Why not? You know, and we lost all that. But lessons learned, the Kickstarter didn't fund. And we relaunched it. We let it run the clock, and then we jumped on it again, like later on.
Now, can you do like a Kickstarter that didn't make it do something like that and redo it again? Like
yeah, that was it. That was like we launched early. There was no traction. And
you think that's what caused it though? The no traction was the launching early.
I don't think that was necessarily it. I think there was that. The world was on fire at the time. A bunch of other things were going on. You know, you launch it during the middle of the pandemic when everybody's got other stuff going on and it's just not a good time in the world. And, you know, literally the world is on fire. So what do you do? You know, you just ride it out and then you just reorganize and do it again.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. That was the one where the guy told you guys, hey, you're main, you don't have the right main character on your covers.
Yeah, that was the other thing too, is like I think like they the cover that we were using had our alien space cat pirates as opposed to having, you know, Sarah or, you know, they have Sarah or Chris on there because they're the characters that people gravitate to.
Yeah.
People don't care about that other portion of the story at that point. They're not invested in them. They're invested in the humans, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
That's I like how my orange noodle fuck is like staring at me like,
hey, what's going on?
All right, guys, I gotta drop.
Later, Johnny.
Yeah. I'll probably get off soon because, like, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm like, it's 9:25 where I'm at, but it's like, I want to crash out. I think, like,
yeah. No, I'm the same way. I had my kid's softball game today, and then I'm a little tired because I was help coaching. And then by the time you get done, you're just like exhausted.
Man. Yeah. Like, it's weird because, like, as I said, this Kickstarter was not as stressful as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, okay. You know, but then again, it's like weird because you've done so many, you sort of poured it in. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, maybe at some point I'll probably get all neurotic about how it will end. But I mean, I have plenty of time. And it's
how many Kickstarters have you done before, Christy?
I've done a total of 6.
Oh, nice.
I failed at my first one, but I did 5. This is the 5th one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Well, we're going to do more of these. You'd be more than welcome to come on and do. And
yeah. I'd love
we're
going
to do a better job at marketing. I was just so late today and just was all over the place.
Yeah. I'll probably send Greg more horrible pictures later on. But
like, oh, that's perfect. I love it.
Yeah. But I'm actually pretty good. It looks like we're rounding it out at 10% right now. So that's pretty good. Healthy.
Yeah, that's healthy. That's healthy. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get like, I don't know, 8 to 9 more backers in the next 12 hours, mm-hmm. if at all possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where are you at now?
20. I'm up at 11.
11 backers.
So I said 11, 11 backers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the total you have right now?
I have 365 out of 3,000.
That's not bad. I mean, you're running it for 30 days, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 30 days. And it's my first time. And we're on the Witch Starter thing for Kickstarter, which I think is will help. Mm-hmm. Hoping. I don't know. And then also, I don't know what I'm doing. Greg has helped me out and given me advice, but you know, I'm not like great at social media, you know, mm-hmm. So I'm not sitting there because I'm 49-year-old white guy. No one's paying attention to me on Twitter or Facebook or anything. Unless I start ranting some racist stuff, then they'll be like, oh, this guy.
And I strongly suggest you don't do that.
Yeah, well, you know.
No, I've shown Greg some examples where it was like.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no, you know, so it's just, I'm doing my best, but I'm not going to stress out. If mm-hmm. if for some reason it doesn't, then we'll do a couple of different things. We'll repackage and we'll do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, with this one, I think I'll be fine. I think I'll probably go over.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. I usually fund it in about 2 weeks a lot of the time.
Yeah,
that's, well, I hope that's you great.
Do. I hope you do. Yeah, and then when we do our updates, I'll add your stuff in, and maybe you can do the same for us.
Yeah, just let me know. I mean, Greg can send me, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'll just put it as, like, a general thing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the updates, I said, please don't send me your dick pics. Because, like, it's will actually send me a dick pic. And what? It's not like a normal dick pic. It's like they're fucking, there's something wrong with them. Like,
like,
remember that one guy? I think you saw it, Greg, where they made it into a Kraken so I could post it. But, like, just this, like, fucking weird guy. And it looked like somebody slammed his head in a door or something. Like, literally, it slammed the head of his dick in a door. And he had like almost hairless balls and stuff. It was like the weirdest shape.
It was a weird thing. Like
it was a cringy dick.
Yeah.
And then what ended up happening was that we were fucking around and I simply like, okay, so Steven Prince of Monster Matador, I said, hey dude, what's this? Yep. Like, what do you think of this? So I sent him those and there's a moment. And then he says, you know, I think you hate me because you send me those things. Like literally when that dude had sent me the dick pic, I looked at it and literally it was like my words like fell on the keyboard and they went in and stuff. So I wrote down, wow, that looks incredibly malformed. And I screenshot it. And then all of a sudden he deleted it. He says, oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't meant to be that. And I said, are you okay? I mean, sure. Do you need a doctor or something? And he's like, I don't know what you mean by a doctor.
Sure, you didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, sure you didn't. You know, like whatever. And so yeah, like, and there was another guy. I think he was from Istanbul or something. Uh-huh. He sent me this pictures of his dick, but it was like a silvery elf hair looking fucking thing. And he said,
Gandalf, Gandalf of wieners.
And so I like made fun of that too. So I put it in the update. I mean, of course, I censored it a little bit because like,
yeah.
Yeah, I know they do nudity and boobs and porn like in fucking Kickstarter, but you just don't want to have it around.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You can push the envelope a little bit, but you don't want to push it too much.
You don't want to do Tim Virgil all the way?
There's a line.
There's a line. That's hilarious.
Yeah. But I think I'm off to a healthy start. 10%. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I think we're getting close. And then... I got 29 days to go. I think I'll make it. Yeah,
I think we'll make it. You go for a while. I'm like, I'm trying to get as much money as possible. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I already paid everybody that worked on the book. So I'm just trying to get the printing and recoup some of the costs.
Yeah, that's actually pretty okay. Like, have you this? So if this is your first Kickstarter, I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah. And then, And I got 3 more planned after this for the book, for the series. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like for Demon Bitch, I'm probably going to go and do like the utter mediocre omnibus or something.
Yeah.
Like that's the next one and actually release like the 5th book too.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. Thank you. Well,
should we end it here? I think it's a good spot to end it for now.
Yeah. Like I'm probably going to sleep too in a minute because it's like the heat is wanting to make me crash and stuff.
Yeah. I promise I'll never send you a dick pic.
Well, you know, I gotta say this is my 3rd show today. So if I'm like
really,
yeah, like that's why I'm fucking tired right now. I think
yeah,
it's like not only the heat, but like in the morning I got it done, and I was on like the trifecta of terror, and one of the guys I know, he's a friend, they backed it, so that's cool, and I had other people back it. And then in the middle of the day, there's K-pop Junkie, she's really cool, and she just popped out a show, and that's it.
Nice. Well, we have before we take off, Christy, we have a podcast called Spoiler Country. Mm-hmm. And we just for lack of a better term, we relaunched, but we were going we've been going since 2017. We took a year hiatus because it just got too much. But we had a pretty large audience, and we're relaunching and everything. Anyways, we're concentrating on indie and Kickstarters and stuff like that. So we can set up a show with you.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Like, as I said, like if it's during this time, that'd be awesome too.
Yeah. This is the best time to do it for me.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I got the 9 to 5, so it's good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Greg, thank you so much. Christy, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Sorry I was late. I just like literally crashed out after.
No. I was trying to do it at 7:30 and it just didn't happen. So this is great.
You tell me you were going to be late. So it wasn't like I was pissed off or something. Cause like, as I said, it only annoys me if like people get late. And it's kind of
no communication.
Yeah, I don't really like that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You don't communicate, I turn off pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, all right. See you guys later.
Have a nice night, guys. Yay.